Hey, good morning, church family. It's good to see you today. Come on, stand together.
No other king commands our full attention. No other names above all other names. No other throne rules over every nation. No other God deserves our highest praise.
Come on, lift it up with us.
No other death could buy our sweet redemption. No other blood could wash away our shame. No other cross could lead to resurrection. No other God deserves our highest praise.
Come on.
So
my sin when your love came and to bliss. How great a debtor daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy goodness like a fetter bind my wandering heart to thee. I'm prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. I'm prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, Lord, take and seal it for thy courts above. Oh, come thou bow, come thou keep, come thou precious prince of peace. Hear your bride to eagerly sing. Come thou bow, up to thy I was bound by all my sin when your love came and set me free. Now my soul can sing a new song. Now my heart has found a home. Now your grace is always with me, and I'll never.
Aren't you thankful for that today? That we are not alone. Look around you. You're not alone. You are with your brothers and sisters in Christ. I don't know if we can do this yet, but you probably need to turn to somebody and give them a fist bump and say, we're so glad you're here today. Yeah, there you go. So grateful to be in the house of the Lord today. I'm exceedingly grateful. I've been on a little bit of a sabbatical and coming back, just taking time to reset and to refocus and to fix my eyes on the Lord. And it's just good to be in the house of God. What a tremendous blessing to be in the house of God today. If you're our guest today, we're so glad that you're here. You came to the right place today. Whatever led you here today, we're glad that you're here. And we'd love to connect with you, get to know you, answer any questions that you might have about the ministries here at Prestonwood. Be sure and let us know you're here by texting the word guest to 74788. Or feel free to go to the atrium today out there. We have a gift we'd love to give you at Guest Central, one of Dr. Graham's books. And we'd love to just meet you and know how we can serve you. We're one big family here at Prestonwood. And we're just so grateful that you're here. For everybody joining us online, we're so glad that you're with us all around the world. And we're thinking of our brothers and sisters right now in the Ukraine. Our prayers are with you. We are calling out to God on your behalf. And we know that sovereign Lord of the universe is in control. He hears the cries of his people. We know that we need the power and presence of God in this place today, don't we? We've come to meet with him. We've come to be transformed by the power of his word. It's going to be an incredible day. Before we sing this next song of worship, I want to turn our hearts to the scripture. We fix our eyes on the only one who is worthy today, Jesus. Colossians 1, verse 15 says this: he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things. And in him, all things hold together. We lift our eyes, our voices to him today. praise your name, Lord.
Only one spoke countless stars ablaze, and only one could breathe life into clay. Only one can quiet raging seas. Only one has power to redeem.
Amen. Sing it together.
Only one spoke countless stars ablaze. Only one could breathe life into clay. Only one can quiet raging seas. Only one has power to redeem.
Come on, lift it up.
All the praise goes to Jesus. All the praise to Him alone. All the glory and honor forevermore. All the praise to Him alone. Only one heaven for a cross. Only one knows every pain and loss. Only one could die my soul to save. Only one, the name above all names. All the praise goes to
Michael Neal, it is good to have you back leading us in worship today. As he mentioned, just a little brief Sabbath rest the last couple of months, but back today, and we're so grateful for our worship team and everyone, our great choir, and that song, one of my favorites, written by Michael Neal, All the Praise Goes to Jesus, along coupled with a great hymn of the faith, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing. I want to add my greeting to all of you online, and we do know we have people viewing and worshiping with us all across Eastern Europe, and that includes Ukraine, and we are praying for you. More about that a bit in the message later on, but we need to be praying for people and the Russian people, many of whom do not want this terrible, atrocious war that is now engaged in the Ukraine. But we'll continue to pray for them, and again, I'm going to say a little bit more about that in the message. It is wonderful to see today many friends from Guidestone, the board of trustees of Guidestone's Financial Services, and would you all stand, please, husbands and wives, Guidestone, these are the folks who lead us in managing our financial investment in our pastors and ministers all across the Southern Baptist Convention. We here at Prestonwood Church, we are so very grateful for you and the support that you give us as pastors by putting us in this great program. And it's good to see Hans Dilbeck here, who is the new executive head, CEO, president of Guidestone, just getting started, because my buddy
O.S. Hawkins and Susie are finishing this portion of their race and have served so well. I wrote a little about you in the worship guide. I hope you read that, about especially the part about your failed efforts to beat me in golf. But nevertheless, you'll have a little more time maybe to work on that. But O.S., as you know, is my friend and brother in all these years. So you can read about that. I wrote about it. I won't go on and on. But O.S., I love you and Susie and your family. Have such a great family. They've lived a life and legacy and are doing it today to the glory of God. And this organization, after successful pastorates in Oklahoma and Fort Lauderdale, and then at the great First Baptist Church of Dallas, God led OS to lead Southern Baptists in a kingdom advance to support churches and pastors. And he truly made a difference in so many people's lives, preaching. And he'll continue, of course, to preach everywhere and write books, and he's writing several of them right now. So we know these next chapters are going to be fantastic for both of you and for your family. But welcome to all the guys. I look forward to having a little lunch with you today. And while we are doing some recognitions today to all of our guests, we've already greeted you. Please go to Guest Central and let us know you're here. But I want to bring up some folks to the platform right now. That's Jeremy and Charity Roberts. Jeremy and Charity, would you come on up right now? And I'm going to get everybody up here, and then I'm going to tell you why they're all here. And then Barry and Janice Cameron, would you come on up here with these folks? Barry and Janice, would you come on up? I'll tell you who Barry and Janice are in just a moment. And then Donnie and Laurie Yantis. Would you come on up here? Donnie and Laurie Yantis. Okay. So let me start with Donnie and Laurie. Donnie and Laurie are moving here from Colorado, because he has been chosen, selected, and called to be the new head football coach of Prestonwood Christian Academy. And we are so happy. One of the great coaches in the nation, and even a greater man. And we're so excited about the faith that he brings, the football, his family. And Donnie, we welcome you and Laurie and pray for them. They're house looking right now, and that's not easy in the Metroplex at this time, but God has a plan. And he's already here getting started. Most recently, he was at Valor Christian School in Colorado Springs, maybe the premier high school football program, private school program in America. And I don't know how we got you here, but by the grace of God, you are here. And I think the church, the Lord and the church had a lot to do with it, because they both said, we just love this church already and want to be a part of that. And then Barry and Janice Cameron. For the past 30 years, Barry has served after other pastorates as the pastor the great Crossroads Christian Church in Grand Prairie, Arlington area. And after 30 years serving, and that church has exploded and reached people, they're a sister church in our community. We've partnered together on a number of things, and he's a brother in Christ. Janice, we welcome you. They are retiring from the church, not retiring from ministry, but retiring from the pastor of that church as of a couple of weeks ago. And I want you to pray. I want you to know them, love them, pray for them, and encourage them in the Lord. And right now, I want you to thank Barry and Janice for 30 years of service, and longer than that as pastors, probably, what, 50, 40? So 40 or 50 years as a pastor. And Barry, God bless you. And then, this is Jeremy and Charity Roberts. Jeremy first came to us as an intern out of Liberty University about, what, 15-something years ago? 15 years ago, he was my personal pastoral intern, so he got to know me. I got to know him very well. He left here after seminary, went to pastor churches in the southeast primarily, and returned to us about a year or so ago and worked in our evangelism and missions department. Jeremy, thank you for doing that. You've served us well. But I'm happy to announce that Jeremy has been called to North Arkansas, the Farmersville Baptist Church, First Baptist Church of Farmersville, Arkansas, which is in the Fayetteville region of North Arkansas, a great, burgeoning, fantastic area. And he has been called to be the pastor of that church. And so we are loving you and sending you with God's blessing and our blessing as a church. That's Jeremy Roberts. We love you. We're grateful for you. Now, I think I must have asked you to pray, and that's why you've got that microphone, right? All right. So I want you to lead us in prayer, and let's pray for one another. Pray for the giving as we give our tithes and offerings. We don't pass a plate anymore, but you figured all that out, and you're giving like never before. So I don't even know where the plates are these days. They're in a closet somewhere. But thank you for giving the way that you give, and Jeremy's going to pray. And as you're giving, know right now, talking about Prestonwood Christian Academy, all of our upper school students this week are in mini-mester, which means they are serving the Lord on a mission field, whether it's local, some groups already in Uganda, we've got groups going to Colorado, that's a mission field, right, Colorado, and all over the nation and around the world. So our Prestonwood Christian Academy, this is something we've done a long time, is to put our students on mission in this week, mini-mester, and then throughout their days and lives. So let's pray together.
Lord Jesus, we are so grateful to get to come here and worship you today. We pray, Lord, 2 Chronicles 16:9, that the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to give strong support to those whose hearts are blameless toward you. God, we pray that as we give today, that we would give with hearts of generosity. Thank you so much for this generous church, ascending church, Lord. Lord, we pray that as we continue to sing to you, that our hearts will be uplifting the songs of Christ. We pray for our pastor as he's going to preach here in a few minutes, that you would just anoint his lips. We pray lastly, Lord, a prayer of gratitude for Guidestone and for all the years of service from Dr. Hawkins. And as Dr. Dilbeck comes in to lead, we just pray for the anointing of the Holy Spirit over that great ministry. We pray for all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Are you past the point of weary? Is your burden weighing heavy? Is it all too much to carry? Oh, let me tell you about my Jesus. Do you feel that empty feeling? 'Cause shame's done all it's stealing, and you're desperate for some healing. Oh, let me tell you about my Jesus. He makes a way where there ain't no way, rises up from an empty grave. No sinner that he can't save. Let me tell you about my Jesus. His love is strong and his grace is free. And the good news is I know that he can do for you what he's done for me. Let me tell you about my Jesus. Let my
Tell you about my Jesus. Take your Bibles, turn to Romans chapter 12, the 12th chapter of the book of Romans. We're calling this the essential gospel. Just a very quick review of where we are, where we have been in this great essential gospel. The first 11 chapters of Romans is all about Jesus and how Jesus saves us. How God has taken a ruined and broken world and persons like you and me, and he's changed our lives and changed our legacies. The big word that we discovered in the first portion of Romans was that of justification, that we are made right with God and our sins are forgiven, and we now stand in his righteousness, and we live this life that Christ has given to us. And we live in peace. We have peace with God. This gospel is so powerful. Paul said in verse 16 of the very first chapter, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation, unto salvation to everyone who believes, the Jew first and also the Gentile. So this gospel is for everyone. Perhaps the key of all the key verses of this first portion of Romans is Romans 5:8. God demonstrates his love towards us, demonstrated his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And it is this gospel of the death, the burial, the resurrection of Christ that we preach. It is the message that we deliver to the nations and to our neighbors. The world desperately needs Jesus. And this message of good news, with so much bad news in the world, with a potential even now for the end of the age as we have known it. I was just watching on the news this morning that Russia, Putin, has put their nuclear missiles on high alert. We don't know what that means. It could be just a threat. But it's certainly frightening as we look at the potential. I'm sure our own nation and others have also now put their missiles on high alert as a result of this unholy, ungodly war that Putin has unleashed upon Ukraine and the people of Ukraine. And so we certainly need to be praying and we need to be preparing. It is an alert. I saw news alert when that came up. So this is a news alert today. And thankfully we have good news for a broken world. And that is the message of the gospel. What the world needs now, the old song says, is love, sweet love. And this passage in Romans chapter 12 that is in front of us today regarding love is what the world needs, is what we need. After that first section of Romans, the first 11 chapters, he moves to chapter 12 when he begins talking about now living this Christian life. Therefore, because of the mercies of God, all that Christ has done for us, his great salvation, we then become living sacrifices. We get on the altar, and when our all is on the altar, when we are surrendered and given ourselves completely to the Lord, then as a result of that, our minds will be transformed. Our lives will be different. We will be changed by the power of Christ and begin living this Christian life. So from now till the end of the book of Romans, it's all about Christian living. It's all practicalities and purposeful living of the Christian life. And last time we talked about spiritual gifts and that the fact that we're the body of Christ and that God has put us together in his church and we are stronger and better together as we are united in Christ, and God has gifted us in order to serve him and to make a difference in the world. And many of you were asking me after the service last week when we were talking about spiritual gifts, how can I know my spiritual gifts? One thing that I said to you at the close is begin doing everything that you can do in serving the Lord. Volunteer for most everything that's around you, and you'll find your sweet spot. You'll find your gift. I mean, I think gift surveys and ways to discover your gift, I've actually done some of those. I think they're good, but the best way to discover what God has designed and gifted you to do is to begin serving the Lord in the power of His Spirit, and then watch how God puts you in a place where you are most effective in utilizing your spiritual gifts, that you discover and then develop and deploy your spiritual gifts. And then I would say, if you really want to know what your spiritual gift or gifts are, then look at the verses that we're seeing today in chapter 12, verses 9 to 13. And I'm calling this message, "The Life You Were Born to Give." Love is to be sincere and active. I'm reading today something a little different. It's from the Amplified, which is a little bit of amplification of the text that I think you'll appreciate it. It's on the screen as you look at your own Bible. But love is to be sincere and active, the real thing, without guile and hypocrisy. Hate what is evil. Detest all ungodliness. Do not tolerate wickedness. Hold on tightly to what is good. Be devoted to one another with authentic brotherly affection. As members of one family, give preference to one another in honor. Never lagging behind in diligence, aglow in the Spirit, enthusiastically serving the Lord, constantly rejoicing in hope because of our confidence in Christ, steadfast and patient in distress, devoted to prayer, continually seeking wisdom, guidance, and strength. Contributing to the needs of God's people, pursuing the practice of hospitality. Now, in that short paragraph, Paul gives some staccato-like imperatives, commands as to how then we are to live this life that we have been given, how we are to live the life that we were born to give. And it's all about love. It's all about love. And when you think about it, that's what the Bible is all about. The Bible is God's love letter to the world. From beginning to end, it's the story of how God has created us, made us, and loved us for himself. And so God himself is love. And this love is most beautifully and powerfully expressed in Jesus himself. And it is poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Romans chapter 5 and verse 5. The fruit of the Spirit is, and at the top of the list, love. Love is the priority for every believer in Christ. And so when you want to know, how should I then live and live this life that I have been born and born again to live? And when Christ came in with these birthday gifts, these spiritual gifts, how am I to express them? How am I to employ them? Well, here it is right in front of us. Because loving one another within the church and loving those without the church, and we'll see that in the message next week, is the purpose and the priority of all of God's people. To be letters to the world, if you will, of God's love and God's grace. So what is this love? Paul describes it. And I want to give you some sentences that will help you understand. In some ways, I've been looking at this passage and turning it over in my mind all week long. In some ways, you just need to say it and read it and meditate on it. But I want, not much I can add to what is here, but I just want to amplify, as I read it in the Amplified Version, and help us all to remember what God has called us to do as we love one another. First of all, love is true. Love is true. He says in verse 9 that love is to be genuine, that it is to be without hypocrisy. You probably know, we've talked about it before, that the word hypocrite comes from the Greek stage. And as actors would wear a mask and play a part, and they would often play multiple parts. Men were the actors in those days, so they would play female parts, male parts, children's part, but they would wear a mask for each one of their characters. And so the New Testament, and Jesus in particular, used the word hypocrite. He spoke of this whole thing of wearing a mask and pretending to be someone that you're not. So love is not pretentious. Love is not phony. It is not fake. It is not manipulative. It is true and it is transparent. One of the most vivid illustrations in the Bible of love with hypocrisy is Judas, who betrayed the Lord with a kiss, with feigned, phony love. Love is real. The word for love in this passage is agape. That's the word for God's love, the sacrificial love of the cross, the love that is not self-interested but others focused. All of the love of God, the love of Christ, is in that word agape. And this is the way we are to love one another, with true love, agape love. Now, I just want you to consider a few words or a few scriptures about this kind of love, this true love. 1 Corinthians 13:13. So now faith, hope, and love abide, these three, but the greatest of these is agape, which is love. Romans 13:8. Owe no one anything except to love each other, for the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. What did Jesus say? He said, the first commandment, love the Lord your God, heart, mind, soul, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. That is the fulfillment of the law. And then in the upper room, Jesus spoke of his love and the transfer of his love to his followers. And he said, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. But here's the key phrase, as I have loved you. And as he's washing the feet of those disciples and serving them, as I have loved you, he loved them to the end, even in their bickering and in their unbelief and all the rest, those disciples, he loved them to the end, all the way to the cross and beyond. He said, just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. I can't love like that, but Christ in me can. His Spirit enables us to love as Jesus loves. And then verse 35, key verse for the Christian life. By this all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. Do you remember when Simon Peter failed the Lord and he was so brokenhearted because he denied the Lord three times? And then after the three times, Peter said, I'm going fishing. He had failed so much, probably feeling like he had fallen out of the favor of God. He had failed the Lord so much. He was weeping profusely. He said, I'm going fishing. I don't think he was going there for recreation. He was going back to his old way of life. He went back to the Sea of Galilee. And then Christ met him there. The risen Christ, all the disciples, and he restored Simon Peter. And when he restored him in love, he said, Simon, do you love me? And three times he asked him, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? Giving Peter the opportunity three times, as he had denied him three times, now to say, yes, Lord, I love you. I love you. I love you. And what did Jesus say? He said, then feed my sheep. And Peter rose up, later filled with the Holy Spirit, to be the great evangelist and apostle. Because you see, this love, even when we fail, even when we're phony, even when we don't love Christ the way we ought to love Christ, he will restore us and renew us in his love. And then he says, all right, I want you to go. If you love me, go and love people that I love. Love is true. I like what Donald Barnhouse said about this idea of genuine love. He said, true love must leave the stage and walk in the paths of real life. Get off the stage. This is not an act. John Stott put it this way, love is not theater, it belongs in the real world. So love is not a platform thing. Love is a passionate thing as we love people in the world. It's not about how you feel. It's about what you do. Because love does. It's a verb. The Christian life is a life of authentic love that demonstrates itself in genuine service and sacrifice for others. One day a young lawyer came to Jesus. He was a religious lawyer. And he said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus talked to this rich young ruler about this life in Christ and how he could be saved, and he went away sad. On another occasion, a man came to Jesus and he asked another question. He said, who is my neighbor? And Jesus told him a story. You know it as the story of the Samaritan. Some call it the Good Samaritan. I remember when OS pointed out to me one day, you know, Jesus didn't call him the Good Samaritan. He just called him a certain Samaritan. We call him good because he was doing something that was good. And maybe in our minds unusual, but Jesus said a certain Samaritan came along to the man who was beaten along the side of the road. You most likely, if you know your Bible, know this story about how this man was going down to Jericho. He was beaten to within an inch of his life by robbers and thieves. And then along came the Pharisees and the religious people, and they passed him by, went the other way. They saw him, looked the other way, and then a certain Samaritan came along, and he ministered to him and served him and showed him hospitality and bound his wounds and all the rest. You know, there are three kinds of people in life that you're going to encounter. They're the people who will beat you up. They're the people who will pass you up. And then they're the people who will pick you up. And love doesn't pass by on the other side. Love doesn't beat people up and beat people down. Love picks people up. Amen? And so this is authentic love. It gets down in the dirt. It gets down in the grind. And the first priority for every Christian is to give your life away. In fact, if you want to know if you're a Christian or not, then listen to the words of John in 1 John when he says, if anyone is my disciple, then love the brothers. If you have love for one another, he said, if you don't love the brothers, if you don't love the church, then you don't love me. We demonstrate the genuineness of our faith, listen to me, by the genuineness of our love. That's first. true love. But not only is love true, but love, watch this, is tough. It sounds counterintuitive. Love is tough. But verse 9, the second portion of that, tells us that we are to abhor that which is evil and cling to what is good. So let me say that love is not soft, it is not shallow, it is not sentimental. Love is strong. Love is muscular. And this love abhors that which is evil. And the Apostle Paul, inspired by the Spirit here, uses a word that actually means detest evil, despise it, and hate it. When you love God, you will hate evil. You will detest it in every way. Williams translates this, you must always turn in horror from what is wrong. So this is love. Psalm 97 verse 10 says, you that love the Lord hate evil. And then Proverbs 8:13, the fear of the Lord is the hatred of evil. So love is tough when it comes to dealing with truth and what is right and what is wrong. So I was thinking, how is it possible for you to hate, to love people, but hate evil? By clinging to that which is good. And the word that he uses here to cling is the same words describing the marriage bond. Let a husband cling to his wife, cleave to his wife, Old King James. It's a word which means glue, to stick like glue. So we are glued to good. We cherish what is good. We are not overcome with evil, but we overcome evil with good. We know that there is evil and we are to detest it in every way. When you see what Putin is doing in the Ukraine, that is pure evil. In every way, it is evil. There is evil in the world. So what are we to do? We're to stand up for what is right against everything that is wrong. So how can you do this as a Christian and still love? We're not to be angry. We can be angry and sin not, but it's not to raise our fists, but it's open our hands in love, and we are to cling to that which is good. And I just thought of a couple of ways that we're doing it as a church. Our Prestonwood Pregnancy Center. We hate the evil of abortion. We detest the fact that babies are being taken in their mother's wombs. We hate the fact that our culture has become a culture of death for all these years. We hate that. But we cling to what is good and what is right. We cling to the truth that life is sacred before God. And we cling to love in loving people who have made terrible mistakes and sinned against God. And we show them love by clinging to good and showing them the good. If you love babies, you're going to hate the killing of babies. It's like your own children. If your children are doing the wrong thing, you hate anything that would be destroying the lives of your children. Because you love your children and you don't want to see evil destroy them. We have a life recovery ministry here at Prestonwood. And in this life recovery ministry, we see a lot of broken people, people who are addicted to drugs and alcohol and pornography and a lot of other things. And as a church, we take a strong stand against anything that would destroy people's lives. We hate those things which kill and destroy the souls of men and women. But how do we respond? By clinging to that which is good, not by compromising, not by tolerating, not by negotiating or making a deal with the devil, but by loving people unconditionally while hating and despising and destroying the sin, or rather the sin that destroys within them. So I could give you many illustrations. If you're a doctor and if you love health, you hate disease. So love is tough. Love is discerning. It speaks the truth in love. We're to never endorse or condone bad behavior or tolerate evil, because God is holy and God's love is a pure and righteous love. We can never be neutral about evil. What is right is right. What is wrong is wrong. What we're actually told here is abhor that which is evil can also be described as run from everything evil in your life. Run from it. In fact, the scripture says, avoid the very appearance of evil. Anything that is suspicious in our lives, even a hint of scandal. When evil shows up, we go the other direction. That's what we're learning. This is what love does. Instead, cling to good. Stay glued to good and what comes from God. It means hold tightly. This is moral goodness. It's always right to do right. It's always wrong to do wrong. And it's never wrong to do what is right. Keep clinging, keep cherishing Christ, who is the greatest good, who is God. Keep yourself, Jude said, 23 of Jude, keep yourself in the love of God. That is, keep clinging to the love of God. Keep cherishing this love. So love is true. Love is tough. And then verse 10 tells us that love is tender. For he says, be kindly affectionate to one another. Genuine affection. And there's a couple of words that are put together here, but it really means brotherly love, the love of family, of brothers and sisters, the love of close friends, warm affection. It means to love deeply, to be deeply devoted to one another. Why? He's talking to God's people now. We are his people. We are his family. And God wants us to live together in harmony and unity. We are a tight-knit family. I was telling you about my friend O.S. earlier. God put us together as friends over 50 years ago. He is a brother to me. And there is a sense in our family of faith that our connection is Christ is greater than our own human family at times. We have this love. We love one another not because we're all alike. We're all different. God made us this way, but we have this tender love for one another. It is affectionate. It is affectionate. I'm glad we brought at least the fist bump back to the service today. Maybe a holy hug is coming. Maybe even a holy kiss if it's your wife or your children. So love is tender. Yes, it's tough on the outside when it comes to things that are right and true, but it's tender on the inside. And this tenderness, it's like our tenderness. If you have grandchildren, you know how tender you are with your grandchildren. That's the kind of love that is being described here, tenderness. And then love is thoughtful. Love is thoughtful. Outdo one another in showing honor. Prefer one another in love, which means put one another first. Compete with one another in showing honor and deference and preference. Showing honor. Give honor to whom honor is due. That's what we're doing today when I brought these folks up here. It's what we're doing with the Guidestone Board in Southern Baptist. We're giving honor to whom honor is due. And not only those who serve us up front, but those who serve behind the scenes. We're always giving honor. We're looking for ways to put others first and not ourselves. Not demanding our rights or expecting preferential treatment for ourselves or entitlement of some kind. I'm telling you, this is genuine humility, to put others in front of yourself. Every church that has been divided and destroyed ultimately because it's people vying for power and pridefully vying for position in the church. But when we all love one another and serve one another and prefer one another, then the church flourishes. But then love is tenacious. Love is tenacious. That's verse 11. Now this is one of my favorite verses. It says, not lagging behind. Not lagging behind, but serving the Lord, not being a slackard. I love that word. We don't use that word too much. You slackard. You sluggard. said, it's a word which means don't be lazy, but work hard, serving the Lord fervently. And that's a beautiful word picture as well. The idea of serving the Lord fervently is boiling over. It's not a picture of a light shining. It's a picture of a pot boiling over. This is our love for Christ. This is our service, that we are fervently serving the Lord, never lacking in zeal or earnestness or enthusiasm in the work God has called us to do. And that means all the days of our lives, we don't get weary in well-doing. I love 1 Corinthians 15:58. Be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Always abounding means always getting after it, always serving the Lord, always working enthusiastically for the Lord, for you know your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Jesus had harsh words to say about a church and a people who were lukewarm. He said, I would rather you be cold all out against me or hot, but your tepidness, your laziness, your lethargy, this all is it makes me vomit. The old King James says, I will spew you out of my mouth. Somehow that even seems worse. Jesus said, I'm going to spew you out of my mouth because of your lukewarmness. If I were to ask your friends, are you a on fire, boiling point Christian? What would they say? If I were to ask your children that question, are you an on fire believer, follower, servant of Jesus? In all earnestness, I'm telling you the urgency and the emergency of our times, the times in which we are living, demands not a half-hearted effort on the part of the church, but a full throttle, full out, all in, earnest, enthusiastic, devoted, zealous service of the Lord. This love is tenacious. It lasts. We stayed fired up. We stay in the work. We do what God has called us to do, and we keep doing it as long as we have breath. If you're not dead, you're not done serving the Lord. God has a plan. God has a purpose in your life. And so what he's saying, this is what love does. What motivates us to do this? Why? Because we're doing it for the love of God. We're compelled by the love of Christ. What Christ has done for us. We're serving God by serving others. And so finally, love is triumphant. Verse 12. He says three things very quickly there. He says, rejoicing in hope, being steadfast or persevering, patient in tribulation, and devout in prayer. Rejoicing in hope. I like the combination of those words. Live with a happy hope. We are living in joy because we have this hope and certainty that one day we'll keep serving and we'll keep doing these things, because one day we hear the words, well done, good and faithful servant. That's what keeps me motivated, is the fact that we can keep rejoicing in this hope. And when you look at the world, what does the world need? The world needs the love of God, and it's found in the hope that is in Jesus Christ. And so we as Christians live with joyful expectation, with certainty in times of uncertainty, with confidence in times of chaos, because we have this sure hope. No matter how dark the world becomes, we rejoice in hope. And then we're patient in suffering. Because if you are living like this and you're boiling over for the Lord, think about it. If you're fired up for the Lord, some people are going to say, you are a fanatic. You are a total freak. You're a religious nut. And all the rest, if you're boiling over, if you're really serving the Lord, I'm not talking about showing off. That's shallow, hypocritical love. But if you're showing up and serving the Lord and doing it faithfully for Him, then you will feel the pressure. The word he uses here is pressure. So we persevere in this pressure because we know in the end we win. Love wins because love never fails, and nothing separates us from the love of God, which is in Jesus Christ. We're comforted by these words and the truth that Christ is coming again. We wonder, what's going to happen to the world? What's the world coming to? I'll tell you what the world is coming to. The world is coming to Jesus because Jesus is coming to this world. And this is the blessed hope. He is our hope. And love then puts us on our knees with praise and thanksgiving to God. We are devout in prayer and devout in calling on the name of the Lord. You know, I guarantee you, if you're under pressure, you're serving the Lord, you're boiling over, you want to keep going, and you are under pressure in serving the Lord in some way, I guarantee you that will drive you to your knees. So we pray. And we could do it constantly. We do it devotedly is the idea here. Prayer is an open channel for the Christian. The life prays. We have a clear channel always in prayer. And so this is how we keep praying. And we need to pray. And I want to thank you, church, for your prayers for our church. We're coming out, God willing, of this pandemic in these days. And over these past 2 years, we've seen God do some amazing things. And I can't explain it except for one thing. You, the people of God, have prayed and served and loved. And God has blessed us in that. And then one final thing, love is transferable. Because he says we're to show love by chasing hospitality and showing love to strangers, the outsiders. We're to love one another inside, but we're also to love people on the outside. And we're doing that by sharing Christ with our neighbors as well as the nations. People we don't know, strangers to us. But we give and we serve and we witness because this is what love does. Thank you for your prayers for me personally. I've been so encouraged by your prayers and for our pastoral team and our ministry team. And your prayers for one another. This is love. And this love, therefore, is transferable. It shows up and shows out the love of Jesus. Closing, listen to these words. It says, the churches would be filled if outsiders could find that people in the churches loved them when they came in. We must, listen to this, win them to us first, then we can turn them over to Christ. We must get the people to love us and then turn them over to Christ. Now, lest you think that that quote came from a modern church marketeer, that was made over 125 years ago by D.L. Moody, a great Christian of yesteryear. And for every generation, it's true. When we love people, they learn how to love our Savior. When we win them to ourselves because of our love, what did Jesus say? They will know that you're disciples because of your love, that you love one another. And when we win them with love to ourselves, by showing them love, then we can turn them over to Christ and point them to the one who loves them the most and will love them forever. Would you bow your heads with me in prayer? Every head bowed and every eye closed. As our musicians are just playing a moment, I'm going to turn the invitation a little bit upside down today. I want to start with you, church. As you are bowing your head, as you are praying right now, just let this message seep in and soak in. Sometimes we hear a word of exhortation and challenge like this, and we say amen and go home. But I want you to pray this in today, dear people. I want to pray it in. That what we see on this page of Scripture will be real and true in our lives. That our love would be true. That our love would be tough and strong regarding truth and cherish that which is good. That we would have brotherly love and affection for one another. That we would prefer one another, put each other first in life. That we would not lag in zeal, but we would be boiling over in our love for Christ and our service for Him. That we would be rejoicing in hope and resilient in patience and resolute in prayer, praying always, showing hospitality to strangers. You got strangers from people you've never met that are moving in your neighborhood from all over the country, all over the world, literally. Are we going to love them? Love them to ourselves so that we can turn them over to Jesus? Pray. Pray for your own heart. Pray that the Spirit of God would pour out His love in your life. And let's pray it for our church, that our church would be so filled with the love of Jesus and that we would live it and show it. It's the life that we were born to give. It's the love of Jesus. So just think about that for a few moments and pray it in. If you don't know our Jesus, He loves you. God loves you. He has a plan, a perfect plan for your life. And though your sin has disconnected you and broken your relationship with God, you can now be forgiven because Christ died for you, all of your sins. His blood was poured out for you on the cross. He rose again on the third day. And we're told in this same book of Romans, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. So bow your head right where you are, online, on site here in the room, and ask Jesus to come into your life. Lord, save me. Forgive my sin. I trust in You. I believe You died for me and rose again. And in my heart, I receive You. With my life, I confess You. Just say, Lord Jesus, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. So say, Jesus, so that one day, even today, you can say, my Jesus, my Jesus. Is He your Savior? Is He your Lord? Online, you can text 74788 and the word Jesus, J-E-S-U-S. Just text Jesus to 74788. We have a New Testament we want to give you with study notes that will help you grow in your faith. Let us know how we can serve you, how we can help you, how we can love you, how we can pray for you. But text it right now and receive Christ as your Savior by professing Him as well as your Lord in this public way. And then right here in the room, the ministers of our church are going to be standing here and upstairs in the balcony. And if you will trust Christ and profess Him as your Lord and Savior by coming forward and openly saying, I am a follower of Jesus, I'm going to ask that you do that today. Don't put it off. Come to the altar. Come to this place of decision and follow Jesus. He loves you. And He will live in you when you trust Him. Make that decision now. Do you want a church where you're loved? Not a church where it's perfect people, but a church where you are loved, a loving church. Then come and join Prestonwood today. Some of you are looking for a church home where you can love and be loved. We all need this. We all need the community of faith. We all need the children, the family of God. So come today. And if you're a believer and you've been baptized as a believer, come. We'll receive you as a new member. If you've not been baptized, as the New Testament teaches baptism, we'll ask that you be baptized to profess your faith. But come today. Maybe you'd like to come and kneel and pray, but come and make that decision. Lord, now, may Your love compel and draw these unto Yourself in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for worship at Prestonwood. As you heard earlier, if you made a decision for Christ, please text Jesus to 74788. We would love to connect with you and give you these great resources to help you grow in your faith. One is a New Believer's Bible with helpful notes to help you study God's Word. The other is a book by Pastor Jack Graham on the next steps to take as you pursue this new life in Christ. As we close, I'd like to thank you for your faithful giving to support Prestonwood and the work God is doing through our ministries. If you would like to give, text the word GIVE to 74788 or visit prestonwood.org/give. It's been a joy worshiping with you, and we look forward to seeing you again soon.